now for Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, right off the bat this morning, if you've been to London, we'd like your stories at 617-779-7937.
My mom loved the Jackson London quiz. I'm sorry, I sound like garbage.
What is happening?
I have a sinus thing. It's not strep. It's not any of that. It's just James, you know. The best thing about toddlers is they pick their nose and they rub their eyes, and then everybody gets sick.
Well, you're so healthy. I mean, I figured you would be impervious to all diseases and ailments.
Well, I mean, my liver's done enough in my life to get me here. I don't need to ask it to do any more.
No, you look fine. It's just a bit of a nasal.
Just for this purpose, it's not great, but
it's fine. I appreciate you coming to work. Greg had the Achilles. You've got the sinus infection, but pressing through this.
That video got like 30,000 views.
It was a great
waddling shot down the hallway.
Great shot on the Greg Hill.
I saw you guys at the big Encore Celtics kickoff gala. What was the big takeaway? Did Missoula like start punching people?
Shamrock event. Missoula didn't speak.
Really?
Wick had a great speech. It's interesting to me, and there's a Celtics ownership update, which I want to give.
What percent of the time did he take?
Well, it was very interesting. Greg noted they had a big musical montage to start the festivities. And the Shamrock event is obviously an unbelievable collection of causes in the community. The Celtics giving back to the community for various events.
Shamrock Foundation does amazing work, and especially some big supporter of our annual radio telethon for the Jimmy Fund.
But they have the championship trophy there, of course, and no rings yet, and so they were kind of talking about that. But they have a big opening montage, and Secession music was playing behind the opening montage. And Greg said, interesting choice of music. But Wick got up, Pags talked.
And Mago was there. She's a huge Succession fan.
Yep. So, just coincidental, I guess. But there is a Succession plan in place, it appears.
Was Wick introduced as Kendall Roy?
He was not. But he looked happy. Everybody was good. They had a panel led by Luke Cornett, which was a little awkward. But the players were chatting, and they seemed to be in good spirits and confident about the year.
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy, odd place to start today, but I saw you there, and it starts next week, the season, but what a crazy off season. Like,
Tuesday's the opener, right?
Correct. This coming Tuesday, and Wick will be on with us.
On Tuesday morning.
On the Greg Hill Show, so a lot to talk to him about, but a lot of the, when the Celtics won, it was very similar to the 18 Sox. It was the exclamation point on a unbelievable season where they really weren't tested. And, you know, the Red Sox, Yankees, and the ALDS in 18, you know, they lose a game, but then they win two in New York, 19 to whatever it was. And they beat the Dodgers, they come back. The Celtics, they demolished the Dallas Mavericks. And it was really this odd confluence of events that the coronation was replaced by a roast. Like, instead of an offseason where, like any new champion, literally, first titles for Tatum and Brown, and Missoula the coach and all that, and Brad Stevens the GM, it was immediate, the road was soft, and then Jaylen Brown was left off the Olympic team, and then they go off to Paris, and it was this offseason of just random, out of nowhere slights against a team that was relatively flawless. And then you have the news of the sale.
Well, yeah, a couple things there. So Wicks, during his speech last night at the Shamrock event, a couple things he mentioned. One, he took a little shot at Luka. He said, we invited Luka to the event, but he was unable to attend. So a little dig at the Mavs. But he pointed out they were the number one, the number one historic offense in the history of the NBA and the fourth ranked defensive team in the history of the NBA, which is amazing, just statistically how dominant they were for that team from start to finish. And they are sort of mocked, picked apart as the offseason has gone on. So
right. This was the offseason to say, oh my God, what an unbelievable run. Historic. Great. And then next season, as they're going to repeat, is when you sort of pick the flaws. Like, right. That's how almost every champion in every sport is treated. But I don't know whether it's the
122 points per possessions per 100 possessions, the highest in NBA history.
100 points a possession would be next level.
That would be pretty
no
good.
One in the NBA is scared right now of the Boston Celtics.
Right. It is kind of stunning. You're right. It's like as dominant as they were, and I guess you can pick apart their path to the finals. That's easy enough. And there was drama to focus on.
Has anybody had a more bizarre career arch than Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah, he's now hated. He's now the villain. And Porzingis was there, and he is larger than life. He was coming around and hobnobbing, and he is just a man. It is he's a freak of nature and a force of nature on the court. But how many games do you expect from him this year? Is it like 20?
I would treat him with kid gloves, like the Chiefs are treating Kelsey. I'd just make sure he's ready for the playoffs. 25, 30 games is my limit. And then, you know, just on the Wick thing, what's the scuttlebutt? You know, you're hobnobbing there. What's the rumors? I saw that our good friend Rob Hale is back in the mix with Jeff Bezos.
Right. So that was the big story that broke yesterday, that the ownership, the potential sale of the team, I don't know that it's down to two, but it seems to be favoring two now. Rob Hale, the current limited partner, and Mark Bezos, the founding partner of High Post Capital. So who knows? This thing has been, I know Courtney had her report about Bezos being in, you know, weeks ago, and then Fenway Sports Group seems to have officially now bowed out, seeking, you know, Vegas baseball.
But why?
Basketball.
Yay!
I don't get the Red Yay! Sox, the Fenway Sports Group.
It's very strange.
Why are they, like, can they not be honest about anything?
I don't even get their strategy, but you know, get back to that in a second. So, she had said it was Bezos, it was the Fenway Sports Group, and the third party was
another investor. I don't remember it.
Okay, so maybe they're out because, you know, it emerging as the two main players are, according to the Globe and the AP, Mark Bezos, founding partner of High Post Capital, private equity group, and half brother of Jeff Bezos.
Oh, half brother, okay.
They have expressed interest. So I mean,
what
I'm assuming,
a half brother to have.
But I'm assuming that's Jeff Bezos, right? And his brother is part of the the conglomerate, the machine.
Right. That'd be like, you know, Dan Kraft doing something.
But Rob Hale, I mean, I think people have heard his name enough now because we've talked about him and he's been so generous with the Jimmy Fund with us year after year.
Was he there last night?
He was not. He was. Greg actually called him from the table and he answered, but he said I couldn't make it tonight. But if he gets it, it would be so amazing. I mean, not only for our relationships with him here, but he is an unbelievable guy. Just a great guy. He seems to be invested in the team at a level. I mean, he's there every night. He is courtside. He loves the game. He grew up in the region.
So I
know Wiggy wants Bezos, but God, they got to get this over to Rob Hale.
No, everybody on the Greg Hill Show wants Rob Hale. And so there's this whole side of Boston that I've been introduced to because of Greg, like, we worked at the same time. I didn't ever listen to the Hillman show, just like he didn't listen to our show. He's on the air. And one of the first events that I was wowed by was the Saving by Shaving event at Granite Telecommunications.
Yep, down in Quincy.
And I'm there. It's 5:45, and Danielle's there, and she's talking to this guy in a windbreaker. And I'm like, oh, like, nice guy. I'm like, hey, you doing? I'm Chris. He's like, oh, hey, I'm Rob. You know, welcome in. Let me know if you need anything. And I'm like, oh, I think we're great. And I said, all right, have a good day. And she's like, Chris, do you know who that was? And I was like, no idea. She's like, that's Rob Hill. I'm like, I'm Chris Curtis. What does that mean? And she's like, that guy runs this whole company. And he, from that point on, has been the most unassuming, generous, rock solid individual I've ever been around. And the people there, it's like the greatest compliment. There's hundreds of people that work in that building. And we actually met one of them who came down to the Audrain Car Fest at Newport. And they, to a man, woman, swear by Rob Hale. And he is a guy that a lot of Boston may not know personally, but he is if you now know Rob Hale or the Hale family, and walk into any hospital, any homeless shelter, whatever, you're going to see his name on something because he's that philanthropic. And I think it would be so perfect for him to get in here. I don't know what his real estate ties are. I don't know much about his, other than that he gives money to college graduates and does all these things.
Well, he co-founded Granite in 2002. He built it up. He's a Northampton native. He's got, I mean, over 2,000 employees. His net worth, I think, is $6 billion, somewhere in that range. But the Celtics are valued at, what, 4.7? It's just tough when you're going up against Bezos. How do you, unless Wick, and I would imagine there's got to be some. Wouldn't Wick want to keep it within one of his own limited partners who he's been with him since 2012? And especially if he wants to stick around for 3 years and have an exit ramp and to give up, what, only 51% of the stake? I don't know how much of it they're keeping going forward and all that. Wouldn't you want to give it to a guy in-house? What would be the edge
but
for
I don't
bringing
know.
Bezos in?
So I don't know anything. I don't talk to Rob Hill. I don't talk to Wick about any of this stuff, not like they tell me. But it suggests something not great that it's at this point. Like, if I'm Wick, you can hire, you know, J.P. Morgan or whatever, Ernst & Young, to go out and find the value of your organization by talking to people that would have the money to invest.
Yeah.
And then you could go back. It's like, you know, Belichick telling Edelman to test the market and then come back. Why wouldn't you want Wick to go to PAGS or, in this case, Rob Hale, and just say, hey, this is the offer. This is what we're going to seek. Because I know Greg pushed back on this, but if Wick sells to Bezos and he sucks as an owner and he's distracted and he's just using it to help him feel better about his man region or whatever, like, that would really suck. With Rob Hill, I feel like you know you're selling the car to a guy that's going to take good care of it.
I know. And so you wonder if there's an Amazon link between the NBA and Amazon. Is there some kind of an NBA push behind this to get the sale over to Bezos?
But wouldn't Vegas make more sense for that? A place that's much easier to develop, a market that they're not yet broken into. The Celtics are pretty fertile. Like, why would Bezos need the Celtics?
Whole Foods collection in the Northeast region.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? He bought Whole Foods for $10 billion, and it was just cash.
Where is their facility? It's in the Seaport, right? Or it's not open yet? The Amazon?
It's built. It's just not full.
So, I don't know. Could they turn that into an arena? I mean, there's got to be, like, grand.
The Seaport has infinite Lamborghinis, but no infrastructure.
But I just think, as a fan, if you're a Celtics fan, you don't want a venture capitalist, right? You want to get out of the hedge fund guys, or you don't want Bezos, right? You want Hale. You want a local guy.
John Henry was a venture capitalist.
I guess. And he's done them well for four titles, but goods and bads there. Anyway, that was not where we intended to start.
I just thought you were there.
The event last night. And it is, you know, they are a world championship team. They open up Tuesday night. The banner will be raised. The new rings will be distributed. They are supposedly gaudy, gauche, beyond any expectations.
Gaudy. I have to correct. I said career arch, not career arc. My mistake. And Gaudy, have you ever been to Barcelona?
I've never seen Kurt Gaudy. No, it was Gaudi's in Barcelona?
Oh, it's like all these architecture, Gaudy.
That's where the next Super Bowl will be, probably.
God, that is the dumbest thing in the world.
Well,
and this thing
they avoided
England,
it for a year.
Like, I always say this. They're like, oh, they're bringing football. I was there in 98, 99. They had the Patriots Monday night games on local TV, live.
Yeah.
It's just not a...
It's been a little... 1999 was a little...
Like, soccer here from the Premier League is exponentially bigger than football is there.
Joe B., have you ever been to London?
Have not.
All right. Well, much for the London stories. Yeah, we'll send you. The station will be sending you later this year. It is the Ken and Curtis Show. We're on until noon. If you have any thoughts on the Celtics ownership update, that it's Bezos and Rob Hale that have emerged as certainly interested, if not the front runners, per the Boston Globe. 617-779-793 season. 793-7 as we get ready for the season.
By the way, start. If you're heading to the head of the Charles Regatta, which I still don't even know what it is, it's insane. I got stuck on
parking.
Oh, my God. It's like, it's a gorgeous. I mean, usually it sucks. The head of the Charles, annually, it's like 40 and rainy, so it's gorgeous out today, but it is jammed.
We should send Joe out and, like, just take cash. We got a big parking lot out there. We could start parking some cars and
get Jackson. You lose half the cash, but it'll be full.
All right, coming up, I do want to give you props for the Mayo exchange from Monday. I think you set the dialogue for the week, and Belichick responded
through an intermediary.
Through an intermediary, but we know it's his chosen intermediary. So I want to.
And he's a genius.
Get into Mayo v. Belichick next after Joe B's trending.
You mentioned being sleep deprived. Do you have to handle practice any differently knowing that?
I wasn't sleep deprived. That's Stacy being sleep deprived.
Well, are you sleep deprived?
I'm not at all. I have energy. I have juice, and I would say the players do too. You know, we flew out here. We landed this morning. A lot of those guys, you know, slept on the plane, and they have an opportunity to get, you know, their energy up through the rest of the day and be ready for tomorrow.
Well, very exciting, Curtis. It's all very exciting. Bash of 1-5 teams, breakfast at Wembley tomorrow. It's hard to contain the excitement, to be honest. with this clash coming up. But Mayo's ready to go. Actually, they probably needed this as a distraction, don't they?
Yeah.
Just as an organization, get across the pond where things went so well last year.
See where Robert Kraft was?
No.
At the Al Smith dinner.
Ooh. Did he speak?
He was seated right in front of the dais, which, you know, so Kamala wasn't there, but Robert was.
He didn't speak, though, I imagine.
No. He was seated next to Michael Bloomberg.
How close was
he laughing
Trump?
At Jim Gaffigan's jokes?
He was. Gaffigan brought it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Very good.
Schumer and Trump were hobnobbing.
Well, I hope he gets over there in time for the game.
Yeah. It was odd to me that he wouldn't be with the team, but he's gone. Like, Kraft is just far gone. Like, he's in la-la land. He's not in reality. He is not attached to what's going on.
Well,
whatsoever.
If your team was 1-5, you probably wouldn't be in that big of a hurry to get over there and bond with them right now. Things are not great. Although, last week was the moral victory of moral victories. I mean, as we discussed on the show a week ago, Drake May could really do no wrong, but he certainly did more than some expected, or maybe many expected.
You know what's interesting is nobody on arguments in radio can, like, accept that they're wrong. Like, what Sunday was a victory for those that wanted to start Drake May sooner. It wasn't too much for him. He made rookie mistakes.
He almost got broken. We've got a knee issue. We've got
so
an
you'd
MRI.
Rather get the knee issue in
I'm
December.
I'm kidding. God, jeez.
So it was a day where he got 3 touchdown passes. He had a fumble on a sack. He had 2 picks. One was awful. Wasn't great, wasn't bad, but was clearly a better option than Jacoby Brissett. Would you disagree?
There's no way to disagree with that.
They would be
by
3-3
improved
if Drake May started at the beginning of the season.
Well, that I don't know.
Okay.
My man AVP said yesterday in great detail how he probably wouldn't have been ready to handle everything in week one.
I can tell you who's not ready to handle things, and I'm not talking about lunch. I'm talking about Alex Van Pelt calling plays.
I really feel bad for Van Pelt because you just see it coming. Like, he's in store for the next 3 months are hell.
There's
this
no
is Van
doubt,
Pelt hell.
There's no doubt in my mind that AVP has a rewards card at Red Robin.
Well, see, that's what I mean. The fat jokes are going to start. Like, people just link him with Patricia and, like, boob coordinators of years gone
you know
by.
Honestly, who he's a horrible reflection on? The guy that they gave the keys to, and Elliot Wolf.
I guess Wolf could take some of the blame for him, but don't you agree he's in store for a rough rest of the season? I mean, Drake May could play great, and Van Pelt will still get criticized for him not playing greater. If he doesn't run enough, if it's not creative enough, if it doesn't look snazzy enough, despite legitimate problems everywhere that he turns personnel-wise.
So there's a lot of ways that you can get from bad to good in the NFL. The Texans are a great example of a great young coach. Caserio is the GM. And, you know, taking the guy or being lucky that the Panthers took the wrong guy, but they're here because of C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and Nick Caserio's ability to build a roster. I know that the one way you don't get there is by being scared. And I'm serious. Like, look at the Bears. They traded the first pick that became Bryce Young, and now they're sitting here on the precipice of something with Caleb Williams.
I mean, let's pump the brakes on the Bears. I mean, they're...
Well, but look, would you rather be the Bears or the Patriots today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. They've put together a nice little season to
and
start.
And that's a risk,
sure, those
right?
Those 4 touchdowns last week meant nothing
so,
for Chicago.
So let's say this, Ken. Let's say the Panthers take C.J. Stroud. Is anybody saying the Panthers whiffed? They made a bad trade?
Unless he was like Sam Darnold and the personnel was so bad you never saw it emerge.
But work with me here. If the pick they traded...
And by the way, Caleb Williams just beat Jacksonville and Carolina in back-to-back weeks. So who is Caleb Williams beaten?
Yeah, who are
nobody good.
Who are Patriots fans to scoff at other wins?
Okay. You're going to beat Jacksonville tomorrow, 35-16.
I think we can agree here. We don't have to fight. Listen. If the Panthers, the same trade that the Bears are lauded for universally, right? Great, brilliant move. If the Panthers took C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce Young with the draft pick the Bears traded.
Yeah, they'd be in a much better position, we think.
And the Bears would be mocked.
Most likely, yes.
Okay, so it's a risk to trade the first pick for several other picks because if that quarterback becomes great, you look like an idiot. So the reason the Bears are here, in part, Ryan Poles, BC guy, GM, also that they were not afraid. They didn't have a high grade on Bryce Young. They didn't think that he was worthy of this haul that they were offered.
Yeah.
And they took a risk and they're being rewarded for it. The Patriots took a risk by not playing Drake May because they were afraid of how it would reflect on them. And
so that, you don't think there's any football reason that they waited?
Zero.
You don't buy that?
I mean, he
was getting better in preseason, no doubt. Preseason was so irrelevant.
But people took what Tom Brady said out of context when he talked about the...
He learned a lot from watching?
Right. He said that what they have done is they have dumbed down the offense. So, as Tom's old coach would say, do business as business is being done. Start the young quarterback because they've dumbed it down.
Well, see, but that's part of the problem for Van Pelt. Like, he probably should dumb it down. He probably had to. They probably did. But then Van Pelt just gets criticized for not being imaginative and just
Van
being boring.
Van Pelt is a useful idiot.
I just feel bad for the guy.
Why? He's making $3 million.
It's not his fault.
Okay.
To your point this week, this is roster construction predating the year and well before Van Pelt came into this mess and was the 13th pick. Now, can we get to you setting the dialogue for the city this week? Mayo Monday. Mayo Mondays. Maybe internationally now that they're in.
Ooh, let's see if BBC covered it.
I think they probably did. So you had a couple of questions in there. You were like you were the attack dog. You were the Mayo attack dog Monday. You were on the roster hunt. So here was the first exchange, which kind of loosened them up. This was the body blow from Curtis.
You said today that you need to do a better job of supporting the rookie quarterback on offense.
That's right.
And that began this offseason. The last time the Patriots took a quarterback in the first round, they spent $250 million that offseason, brought in a bunch of guys, Hunter Henry, obviously still on the team from that offseason. Why do you enter with this much question marks on the offensive line and at the elite positions of offense, knowing you had to support the rookie quarterback?
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at free agency or through the draft, we're always trying to improve our roster. Now, in saying that, we had, you know, a lot of holes on the roster that we felt coming out of the draft that we addressed. Now, in free agency, we still felt like we signed the best offensive lineman in Mike Onwenu, and then re-signing some of our own players, which was definitely part of it. Now, once again, look, this isn't a one-year thing in my mind. It's going to take time to continue to build out the roster, and that's how it is.
Okay, so he's reiterated this point a couple times, that they signed the best guy in the market, Mike Onwenu. There was nobody else that was really worthy of it. I mean, the guy that is thrown back at them is Jonah Williams, who signed for 2 years, $30 million in Arizona. And then he got hurt, but, you know, you wouldn't have known that at the time. But I don't know the tackle market that well to say, Trent Brown, whoever it was, that they could have brought in. But see,
or you could have traded someone.
Or traded for a tackle.
Right.
I guess, a pick of the future. Which is a little risky, though, because, you know, you'd rather have a young guy that you could build on in this year's draft.
I would say this line is riskier.
This is risky for breaking Drake.
Right.
So back to the fears of it. So then you followed up, and you got something good out of him. Here was part two.
Why was the roster in such bad shape entering this offseason?
You tell me.
he almost said what he but.
Not doing that one.
Well, too late. You already did that one, and I think everybody knows what that meant.
Yep.
And is he right? Is Mayo right?
Of course. The roster was in awful shape. You know, I was thinking of this. So would it be beyond Belichick to use this thought process that he knew the roster was in bad shape, whether it was Kraft's fault?
Here's a conspiracy theory developing, Joe, so get some conspiracy music ready.
That he wasn't so horned up to go to the Falcons because there was a part of him that was happy that Robert had to pay him $30 million to do nothing. And he would come out smelling like absolute roses at the conclusion of Mayo's first year, which is why he didn't even address the Bengals lost, the Bengals win by the Patriots. It has been, he knew they were going to suck so bad no matter what they did this offseason. And he knew the fact that he wasn't going to be hired would force Kraft to not sink another $30 million into the roster because he was paying Bill to do nothing.
So he had offers, or may have had offers if he had pursued them,
but he
did chose not to because to watch the Patriots burn.
If you got the
he's
right
standing
offer,
standing across the street after lighting the match.
If he got the right offer, he would have taken it. But he knew, which is why he agreed to 17 media gigs, because he was going to, you know, 6 to midnight break down all the flaws of the organization.
He is lapping Brady in the media game. My God. Every week, I mean, he's on the Manning cast this week. He says one thing. People love it. They as you point out, he's on 17 gigs. It doesn't matter. He says one good thing a week. It's funny. People play it. Brady says nothing because he can't.
What are you talking about?
He's restricted from saying anything.
Has anybody, like, does anybody read the newspaper, as Michael Scott once asked? Like, Tom Brady has been under these restrictions.
Okay, well, what has he said interesting?
Stop.
What Brady clip have
you
played?
Idiot. He has been under these restrictions since week one.
Right.
Why does everybody, I heard, switch to rich on Instagram? What a freaking tagline that's been. Oh, God.
No, God, please, no, no.
The decongestion is starting to hit your brain, so this is going to be a rocky show.
He's talking on Instagram about how, like, how is he going to do his job? Nimrod, it's been this way the whole year.
Okay, but I agree with Rich. What has he done? What have we played one clip? Joe Braverman, you have a list of sound bites in there. Pull up for me the Brady clip as an analyst this year that we've really played because he was so good.
Baker Mayfield rip. Great.
Okay, I don't think I've heard that one.
When he said, if I want to have fun, I'll take my kids to Disneyland.
That wasn't
not
on
a
the
daycare.
Air. That was,
yes, it was.
He was?
Yeah, it was during a Bucks game.
Okay, what week was that?
Well,
two weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks of silence. Bill's lapping him. Bill, I mean, every week,
honestly,
steady collection of Bill clips.
I think he's too busy getting an ownership
right,
of an NFL team.
Which is another problem.
Since he left Bill Belichick, he's won a Super Bowl, thrown for 48 touchdown passes, won 5 playoff games, and now he's a part owner of the Raiders. How's Bill doing?
Well, Bill is upset now that Mayo's taking shots at him. He hasn't come out and addressed this
directly.
But just
to finish your question, yes. You asked, you know, is he right? Is Jerron Mayo right to say it's Bill's fault? Of
right.
course it's Bill's fault.
Okay.
Of course.
Do you think everybody agrees with that, or is it Mayo and Wolf?
I think it's not Mayo or Wolf. It's Bill Bella. It's Robert Kraft.
Okay,
that would
Kraft,
be.
Mayo, Wolf.
Right.
If you had to pick one,
blame
pie.
Pie.
Yeah, blame pie.
I would go 80 Bill, 20 Kraft.
Wow. 80 Bill. It doesn't sound like that. You're very angry at Kraft. Your questions are all about Kraft and money and
okay.
recent.
So I can't get mad at Elliot Wolf for, you know, not going after Orlando Brown Jr. or McClinchy or whoever the tackle du jour
was. Jonah Williams.
You know, he got the wrong guy. The guy quit football. I mean, Okorafor, not exactly a home run, but I don't believe that they had the money to do it.
If they had a better weight room here, Chooks would have stayed.
Right. Whereas Bill Belichick, it's not the team. It's the willful ignoring of the offensive woes that were part of this organization and a desire, or in fact, he wanted Mac to fail. Would you doubt that?
Bill?
Yes.
He was definitely pissed off at the way Mac handled things. It seemed personal. It seemed haphazard, his pulling of him and reinserting him.
Not
and
talking to him?
They broke the guy. I feel bad for Mac, too. God, I feel bad for a lot of people today. Van Pelt, Mac. Now,
if I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Okay, that's true. It was a good line. One for Brady. That's
and,
the one of the
and
year.
Curtis, you can blame Bill all you want, but if Bill had a quarterback, they would have made the playoffs. Bill ran the best quarterback in the history of the sport out of town.
Zappy?
Bill Belichick hates quarterbacks. The reporting is that he wouldn't go to the Cowboys because they have a quarterback. That was said on the afternoon show.
603 texter, furthering your conspiracy. Belichick knew Kraft was going to get rid of him 2 years ago. He knew that Mayo was going to take his place, so he intentionally gutted the team of talent. It was a two-year process.
And let me tell you, I love that from Bill Belichick.
God.
I think that is so awesome. F you, dude. Of all the people, if you want to go over why the team won Super Bowls.
You're nefarious. Your brain is scary. I got to watch you.
It's Tom
As
Brady.
As a manager here at this institution.
Tom Brady, number one. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, number two. And then 70 floors till you get to Robert Kraft as to why they were where they were.
But would you agree your recent commentary on these airwaves and across New England on our vast array of sports network has been mostly Kraft criticism, 80% Kraft criticism, 20% Bill?
Right. So I don't
it's,
know.
It's not in congruence.
I think Jerron Mayo has been learning on the job, which is what we expected. I think he has regretted how forthright or how verbose he's been. But I don't think there's been anything from Jerron Mayo that would suggest he couldn't be successful. Elliot Wolf, not a great offseason, but
a pretty bad offseason.
Robert Kraft waited to promote Elliot Wolf until the draft was finished.
Oh, so he didn't have a full
he was just,
running start?
And so
he was time-sharing
whether it's Robert or Jonathan, like, I blame them. They have the money. It's,
I mean, they did get the quarterback right, so I guess that's, at the time, we said that's all that matters.
Right, but...
we think they got the quarterback
right. The reason why the Crafts have gotten my brunt of criticism is that everybody, the excuse for why Drake May hasn't been playing was finally uttered by Jerod Mayo, the honest reason.
You tell me.
The offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line, and the roster was barren because of Bill.
So
they're blaming Bill.
Elliot Wolf.
Can we play Bill's response before?
Wait, just quickly. Okay. Elliot Wolf screwed up in picking the wrong tackle in Okorafor, but they paid on Wenyu and they moved him to guard.
They didn't get a receiver. I mean, they could have paid for Ridley.
It was just a really bad offseason, but it starts with the decision not to spend.
Okay, but that's Kraft. You're blaming Bill 80-20. Now, here is Lombardi. This was where? This was on one of his many podcasts?
This is Nesson's Foxborough Rush. So great, it's their Patriots show.
Foxborough Rush.
Podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
This is on Nesson?
Nesson, yes.
This clip was, wow, great job, Nesson.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brady, having one clip, Nesson's first great clip. Okay, so here is Lombardi, the intermediary of Bill Belichick, responding to Mayo's cut to Curtis.
The reality of it is they signed Barmore back. They signed Uche back. They signed Duger back. They signed Preppers back. They signed all these guys back. Bill's not in the building anymore. So when you sign the players back, you can't blame him for what's going on. I think that, to me, that's a little bit of talking out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say, you know, I had hurted a bad team when most of the players you signed, particularly on defense, are the ones you signed back. And you had a full offseason with $100 million of cap room to improve your team. So, look, Washington's not saying it's Ron Rivera's fault. Washington just got better. Washington had one pick higher than the Patriots.
Right?
So they were a worse team than New England last year, but they have gotten better because they signed a bunch of guys. They're coaching better on defense. So it's really a cop-out. Like, at some point, when are they going to stop blaming Bill for everything that goes wrong? Oh, I know when they will. It's when they win. It's when then it'll be all on them.
Oh, pretty good response by Lombardi.
Can we go back through all of Bill's excuses last year? You absolute fraud.
But he's got a point, Curtis.
What are you talking about?
They signed all Bill's
Ron
players.
Ron Rivera is not the guy in charge of the Commanders roster.
True or false? Mayo's only offseason work was re-signing Bill's guys.
No, it was bringing in Drake May.
Okay, yeah, beside Drake.
Beside the guy that you just said is the whole reason this is a successor.
You, at the time, were surprised how many of the old guys they were bringing back and how many they extended for big money.
Of course both could be true, and it's not a cop-out. First of all, to replace 53 guys, not easy. Secondly, they brought in a new left tackle. They brought in several receivers that suck, but they tried.
They signed Duger back.
Duger. I love the Duger signing.
So, I just love this. So, yes, they had good defensive players. Bill Belichick did great in investing in the defense. Of course. That was his side of the ball. His son was the coordinator. His other son was the safety coach.
Okay, but can't you understand how that would irk Bill to his core to have Mayo there giggling with you guys? You tell me, blaming it all on Bill. Like, he's got to be in, and he's looking. The only thing left standing on this team of any worth are his guys that he put in place on defense.
But I loved, and I asked that question to Jerod Mayo because I know that's what they feel.
Yeah.
I know that's how they think about it, and I don't think they're wrong. I really don't. Bill Belichick did an awful job here. He really did at the end. He did a bad job constructing the roster.
Yeah.
The offensive side.
Whose fault is this roster? Is it more Kraft or is it more Bell?
Because you can't have it both ways. If you believe Bill Belichick to be the greatest coach in NFL history, then why would this team be on the same pace if they went on Sunday as last year's team?
617-779-7937. Some calls on this next.
In life, it's about getting good chemistry and trust and feel that, you know, our record the last 3 to 4 years wasn't what I wanted. And I had given him so much power. He had full control over everything. And shame on me. I should have had some checks and balances better. But he had earned that right.
Something you don't hear much, a podcast. Yet another podcast, Charlemagne the God.
Oh, that's actual live radio.
Oh, was that live radio? Kraft, speaking somewhere.
Okay, can we just break that one down?
Yeah, that's a big one.
The contradictions in that one statement. He had earned it, but it was a mistake.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I think it might sway your vote, because we're asking the question here on the Kenny Curtis Show. Who do you blame for the roster, really the offensive roster primarily, right? But the roster in general, around Drake May, Bill or Kraft, who do you blame? You blame Bill, 80%. But Kraft is telling you there, it's really my fault.
That's not at all.
I gave them too much power.
Okay, what's the most important roster decision Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have ever had to make?
Well, Brady.
Okay, who made that decision?
But that's, we're going way back now.
Who made that decision?
That's very controversial, as you know.
Who made the decision to not be able to franchise him?
Well, Kraft, ultimately.
Okay, so you're saying you gave him too much power, but the singular decision, you took it away from him.
But they could have been a contender by now. When did Brady leave? What was the date? I'm sure you have it in front of mind.
It was St. Patrick's Day, 2020.
Okay, so we're 4 years, almost 5 years later.
Right.
And they're in rock bottom, 1-5 territory.
Okay, but work with me here. So in that decision, which that is the Mason-Dixon line, where Belichick...
They've had four drafts since then.
Okay, work with me. Bill, that offseason, they bring in Cam Newton. They go 7-9, which might be a miracle.
Yeah.
That next offseason, Robert Kraft reinstituted himself with the offseason spending because he was embarrassed that
right.
Tom Brady won elsewhere.
Right.
So he spent $250 million
right.
and took Mac Jones at 15.
Okay.
So Bill Belichick sitting here like, wait, so you stuck with me. You said, I believe in you, Bill, over Tom. But then you're taking all of these decisions, which you just told Charlemagne I had earned, away from me.
Right.
So Bill's like, all right, I'll fix the defense. The offense is on you because you forced me to take this kid.
So you're talking yourself into blaming Kraft more than Bill. It's not 80-20 Bill's fault. Well, it's 80-20 Kraft's fault.
I'm saying the way Bill Belichick addressed the roster is inexcusable. He went into a sandbox and pouted. That's his fault. He's an adult.
Okay. But Kraft gave him the power to do so and pushed him that way, is what you're saying.
Right. It was the reason why the Patriots are where they are, the absurd nature of Bill Belichick last offseason telling me that the Rams and Bucks were screwed, one of the all-time low moments of that guy's career, two teams that made the playoffs and immediately were able to rebuild despite the dummy contracts.
This is a tough one for you because you really dislike Bill and Kraft these days. 978 texture. Once Kraft pissed off Bill enough, he went scorched earth and destroyed the roster. The Patriots are Kraft's identity. What better way to irritate Robert?
I mean, don't you believe that at least played a role?
Oh, yeah. He definitely pouted, especially with Mac Jones. You're right about that. All right, I'm taking a poll here now. I got one side Bill, one side Kraft. Who are you blaming for the roster? Bill or Kraft?
I blame you.
You said Bill. 80-20.
Right.
You sticking Bill?
79-21.
I'm going Kraft.
87-14.
You just laid out a great argument of why it's Kraft's fault more than Bill.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Mike.
Thank you for the compliment.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Hey, so for a guy that in Robert Kraft who really desperately wants to be in the Hall of Fame, he's really not doing everything possible to spend money and get this team right. At the end of the day, he's going to look like it was all Brady and Belichick if he can't right the ship. And quite frankly, he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame if he's not going to open up the wallet or hire the right staff. You can blame the market for not having a lot of tackles this year, but what are you doing to put the best coaches or make trades to put the best players around Drake May? This is ridiculous what Kraft is doing.
Well, right.
That's a Kraft vote.
If you want to go back to
2-1 Kraft.
If you want to go back to last offseason, not this one, the one Bill Belichick's final offseason here. They told Trent Brown he was going to be right tackle, signed him to 1 year, $8 million, whatever it was. He shows up disgruntled. they tried to, you know, go cheap with David Andrews. Look at the way they addressed the offensive line for the last several years. The one that you even admit is the dumbest of all time.
What, Cole Strange?
Your franchising Tooney.
Oh, Tooney.
And then letting him walk for a compensatory pick.
I wonder if that was Kraft-driven. Like, we got to compete now. Brady had success. He's worried about the Hall of Fame. We got
so you can't franchise so Tom, but you can franchise
yes,
Joe Tooney.
In a weird way.
What a dumb idea.
Let's go to Maine. You love Maine. Let's talk to Steve.
How many titles does Tooney have now then? Four?
Yeah, let's make it 3-1. My problem with Kraft isn't just the past couple of years. It's watching all of our coaches go. Arguably, the best defensive coordinator right now is up in Minnesota.
Oh, Flores. Curtis loves Flores.
B-Flow.
Yeah. But as these guys came up, instead of giving them bonuses like, hey, we get what you're doing right now is great. We're going to pop you another couple million just to stay here. And they let so many go. We already brought up Caserio down in Houston. That's when the roster started really getting bad, because it doesn't matter if you're Bill Belichick or not. One guy cannot do everything. And all the people that he used to be able to depend on slowly left. To me, that's crap. Throw a couple extra bucks.
3-1.
Wait, so...
Oh, sorry.
So you think that Bill Belichick wanted to pay assistance? Come on. Where's that evidence? Wait. Before we pivot, where's the evidence?
That Kraft wanted to pay assistance?
No, that Bill wanted to pay assistance.
Bill. Paid his son $3 million.
Okay, right. Making my point. You don't think they could have gotten B-Flow for $3
million? Steve... You don't get that mullet and that tongue everywhere.
Okay, so this is where you're annoying. So that doesn't make any sense.
How about coaches without the last name Belichick?
Right. Who is he paid?
Who is his highest paid assistant? Josh McDaniel.
Okay, McDaniels.
Paid him for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a Kraft. We believe that was Kraft.
He took him under his wing, don't you remember?
Right. It will show the world to you.
Mm-hmm. 480.
That was a Kraft, not a Belichick thing.
Guys, the owner gives management a budget.
Don't you remember the Belichick Kraft McDaniels dinner powwow?
Yeah.
It was like when Swayman met with
Belichick was great
Cam
at that dinner.
And Don.
You don't think Bill was nice to Josh?
Oh, in the
compared
end.
Compared to Mayo. I mean, he was willing to give Mayo the keys. It seemed like it. Not right. Mayo. Anyway, back to the texture. The owner gives management a budget. It's true in every business. Then the GM does the best within the budget he's given. The numbers don't lie. Kraft set a ridiculously low budget. So
I mean, why did it shift then? Why was Bill suddenly unable to build the roster the same way?
He lost his fastball.
Or he lost the guy that did it.
Let's go to Jack in the Fenway. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, make it a 4-1 crap.
4-1.
To blame. So
I have a feeling Danny's going to blame Bill. So.
Good.
I am referring to the 2024 NFL season, the state of the roster, and how bad it is. I blame primarily Kraft for it. I honestly think Mayo and others blaming Bill for everything is kind of pathetic. So I think in general, you should focus on the things that are in your control and take responsibility for them. And look, Curtis, we agree on the drafting. We agree on Brady. I'm not going to go down that route. The drafting was bad under Bill, and that did contribute to the current state of the bad roster in 2024. However, there is no excuse for this offseason. I mean, they could have done a lot more, put themselves in a better position, maybe not be as good as Washington or some of those other teams. But, I mean, the current state of it's an even worse roster, I would argue, aside from the quarterback, than last year, which I think is inexcusable. There was a lot of stuff they could have done that they just didn't do. And that is just from Kraft cheapness. I don't know what else to put it.
But so, Jack, I would just ask, so why was the roster where it was this offseason? Was that Robert Kraft deciding not to invest? Or I'm saying prior to Elliott Wolf, prior to Bill leaving.
Sure.
Why was the team 4-13 last year?
That was, that one, again, the 2023 record, I would argue, is more of a mix. Definitely, obviously, the drafting is part of it. Again, I 100% agree on that. I do think Kraft's parsimony does extend back, though, and that was, again, part of it. And you're right, Brady covered up the flaws, and that was part of it. But I just think that in the year 2024, I blame Kraft more than I blame Bill.
You're getting crushed. God, Curtis is getting destroyed today.
So, well, every time I actually question you on something, you just put your tail between your
legs. You've had four straight callers agree with me.
Right, because it's easy to say that Bill made all these great decisions. There was a steady rot of the roster.
Just
let me finish the sentence.
I have a great point here. Good.
A steady rot of the roster from 2020 to 2024. Would you agree?
Can I interject? If you're Bill, don't you blame Kraft for part of that? He made you take a quarterback you didn't want to take. Think of what else he could have done with that pick. He would have traded back and got three picks for that.
Oh, like the McDuffie trade when they took Cole Strange?
That always worked out.
I mean, look at his draft. So who took Cole Strange?
I think that's a Bill.
Okay.
He's still here.
Was that a good pick?
He's getting healthy. Center of the future.
Okay, who took N'Keal Harry?
Keneal, as it was Lombardi calling him. Lombardi. Now, can I give you a great point? You love the nefarious nature of Bill. If you were Bill Belichick, you would have behaved exactly as he did, petulant the last couple years.
Totally. I actually respect it deeply.
So, How do you not support Bill and his behavior? Well, exactly as you would have behaved.
So, because Bill in real time realized it wasn't him. And that was really hard to deal with. And Bill, as you, every week, you would say, I actually asked questions directly to him about topics I was discussing.
You did.
And he always had excuses. Captain, do your job. Remember when he created the fake punt out of thin air?
Oh, yeah, he made up the punt.
That I said, you didn't force a punt from the Bills? And he said, oh, yeah, we did one. Nope. Wrong. Bill Belichick, greatest coach in NFL history, gets tripped up by yours truly because he was seeking an excuse because he couldn't accept that his defense couldn't overcome the flaws of the offense that he despised.
I'm going to get you to flip the Kraft by the end of the show. Who do you blame, Kraft or Bill? 617-779-7937.